our speakers are Matt S. from the KISS Group of NA, Rich L. from YDI, Lance S. from Simple Solutions, and Edgar D. from Sunday Survivors.
We're going to start off like the three monkeys that go like this and like this and like this. And whenever Lance messes up, that's when one of us
will... I'm the one that don't listen.
You're the one that keeps holding his nuts. Okay, go ahead, Matt.
Hi, everybody. I'm Matt, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Matt.
And I guess I'll start off with the fact that it's kind of like unlikely that this event would ever come to pass. And the reason this is unlikely this event would ever come to pass is in 1996 we had a Unity Day picnic. Back then we were Cambria, Somerset area of Narcotics Anonymous, and we had Cambria and Somerset County. And at that time it was this guy and that guy there. And then what happened was is Indiana wanted to join the area, and Altoona wanted to join the area, and that's when we had to rename the area, and it was renamed Laurel Mountain Highlands, because, you know, we were bigger than just Cambria and Somerset County. And we had this Unity Day, and in the interim, somewhere in there, the vice chair ran off with Treasury. We were, like, missing $658, and I'm reminding you, we're a brand new area. Half of us wanted to kill the other half of us. People were accusing people what happened, and we were total disunity. And as I recall, a member, Lance S., decided to make a motion to make the Journey Continues a 3-day event. And, you know, like Monty Python, now for something completely different. And we voted on it, and I thought, this is absolutely asinine. How can we, after we've lost all the money, after half of us want to kill half of us, have a 3-day event that was going to cost thousands of dollars, at least $1,000, if not more of it than $1,000. And I don't know, some members, they heard that, and they said, I'm in. And I voted no. I said, how the hell could we do that? We are totally in disarray. We cannot have a 3-day event. And I didn't understand what the Unity Day, what this event was, and I didn't understand. I thought, at the time, we were growing so fast in Johnstown. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, there was one meeting. And then some other guys, a guy came in from Pittsburgh, and then there was two. And
Sam.
Then Sam. Sam came in, and we had the Friday night meeting, and then we had Chris had the Saturday night meeting. I had the Wednesday meeting, and Lance had the Tuesday back to basics. There were four meetings. That was it. You know what I mean? And you know, how could we possibly do this? And when all the other groups, and we were growing so fast, and I didn't understand what this event was, because, you know, I didn't understand the idea of being connected to the whole of Narcotics Anonymous. So we voted yes, and it's highly unlikely this event would get started. But see, you got to understand what the willingness it took to do this. At that time, if you wanted to practice your recovery solely in Narcotics Anonymous, man, you had to bust ass and travel everywhere. And there were people that did that. There were people that decided that, hey, I want to get my recovery solely in Narcotics Anonymous. They would get in their cars, and they would go and go and go. And there was that willingness. And as I recall, you know, I think we got together and tried to remember some of the things. And if you try to remember, like, yesterday, it's hard. But try to remember, like, 21 years ago, you know, what it was like. I mean, we did dances. We did produce flyers. We had nuts going to Marlikna, selling, hawking our shirts. We had... I mean, it was a major undertaking to raise the money to do this. I'm going to shut up because I don't want to hog this whole... I could go on and on. I want to hear the other guys, but I kind of want to kick it off with, like, what did it take to get, like, number one going? And by the way, this is number one shirt.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was one.
This is one. Mm-hmm. Now, why don't the other guys speak about number
it's
one?
It's supposed to be a pyramid, huh? I'm Lance, I'm an addict.
Hey, Lance.
Edgar has our actual helpline shirt. That was our original logo. The helpline, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, because listen, I did a lot of LSD in my veins. Things seem a little different in my but Matt's right.
Wider.
We were completely disunified, and some of us came from larger NA areas. I'm a South Hills boy, south of Pittsburgh, Shasna, South Hills Area Service Committee, and Edgar, I had not known, but I had seen him at Start to Live 8. He was with the Additional Needs Committee across the vestibule at the Hilton, downtown Pittsburgh. And it was my first year being involved in something larger than myself, right? Besides Narcotics Anonymous, you know, event-wise. And so I found myself up here because of Narcotics Anonymous. My life got better. Opportunities arose. New possibilities. And I got a promotion, and I came up here to live to work for the company I was with. And that put me in the mountains. And this was the end of my road, too. The end of my using days was up here. And my wife said, I'm not going back up there. Right. Well, she did. I bought a place that she really loved, and she came along. And she always wanted to be on water, so we got near water, and it was an immense thing. But like Matt was talking about, for me, from my side, I was going, at that time, it was before I think Matt maybe showed up. This is like 2.5-3 years before our picnic. I was going to Johnstown and on our regional meeting list, and none of those meetings were open, or folks weren't showing up to open them, maybe sporadically, and I missed them. And I remember pulling off on 219 after my third attempt to make a meeting and seeing everybody that I got clean with in my head and that, and I started crying, actually. So I called my sponsor, and I said, hey, Steve, this is fucked up here. I don't know if I'm going to stay clean. He says, well, Greensburg's got meetings. Go to Greensburg. So I would drive an hour, and that's where I met Timmy P. and the gang in Greensburg. It really expanded my we. And but I was getting thin, right? I was getting thin. every week. Wednesday night, Greensburg, became every 2 weeks, every month, building a house, all this other stuff. And the rewards of recovery, actually. And I got thin. So Steve called me up and said, hey, we got all these groups just registered in Johnstown for the region before we put them on our new meeting list. Because I had served on the regional, you know, office and that. And he said, why don't you go check out and see if they're really happening? And I knew, I didn't know them, but what he was doing was pushing me back because I was sharing about, you know, I'm thin, blah, blah, blah. My life's terrible. I was whining. But my life was really improving. But in my mind, can't get to a meeting, you know. Two of the guys on the crew wanted my job, and they hate me, and, you know, all this other stuff. So a guy named Sam, which I knew from Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh accent. he had started a whole bunch of NA meetings, Back to Basics, TGINA, and some folks that started coming. And so Sam sowed some seeds. There was NA in Johnstown, before that because I had gone to some NA meetings, but they were always like a little room off the AA meeting. And then periodically the old timers from AA would come back the hall and look in the room and listen, and if somebody sounded a little healthy, they'd go psst. And they'd take them down the hall to the AA. And you never see them again. It was like they got lost in a vacuum somewhere. So there was a lot of mixed message in that. And, hey, the reason why I'm clean today is because I had went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting in Pittsburgh and came back here right out of rehab and told my wife I'm not going to get clean because I've had this eclectic thing going on in Johnstown. The meeting list had all the rehabs on there, their phone number. I mean, you know, people were doing the, what do they call it today? Multiple paths. They were doing that back then, too. It's nothing new. It's not new. But I found an NA meeting in Pittsburgh, and I heard the NA message. And they loved me. One night, and I come back and said, Deb, we got to get to Pittsburgh. Because I had relapsed 3-4 times over a course of 3 years before, you know, 3.5 years. And then I went to work, and there was a job that I was doing in Pittsburgh on the board when I was getting a drink of water. So anyway, I brought all that back with me because I had 5 years clean, I think, at the time.
Six.
I think 5 years.
Six.
Four and a half. Six. I don't remember.
Five on average.
Five on average. Just for the day. Man. And the rest is kind of history. Out of the spirit. See, I don't think any of this was any of us is doing. It was something bigger than us happening. You know, when you look back over the course of events and... And we unified. Sam moved away 4 or 5 months later and left us. And like Matt was saying, you know, we had our beeper. We got a beeper. We did get our helpline money. And
meeting list.
Meeting lists. And we were having our first area service. There was three or four of us. And Bob S. Bob here, he was here last night. Bob was the helpline guy, and the beeper went off. He says, the beeper's going off. It was the first time the beeper went off. Where's the phone? Where's the phone? Where's the phone? And we didn't know where the damn phone was in the church. There was one in the kitchen. And Bob found it and called Edgar back, and that's when Edgar and the gang come over to join. Hey, where are you guys at? He's driving around Johnstown, I think, looking for us or something, right? Is that, yeah. So our first helpline call was Indiana joining us. And I remember we self-willed a lot of shit back then.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody in favor? Matt wasn't ever in favor. Matter of fact, I think Matt got so mad he left us for a little bit.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And the old starts to like fall apart without me, and it didn't happen.
Well, I remember when we were kicking around the name, he wanted Matna too. So. But hey, we lost some folks along the way, mm-hmm. Due to the stuff we do here. Sometimes we don't surrender, and our money was stolen. We would all be sitting in the car. 2 o'clock after the dance, 2 a.m. in the morning, headlights shining on our vice chair of the area, Cheryl, God bless her, putting the money right in the deposit box, right in front of us, only to find out she was making a switch somewhere from the ride to him, and she took the money. She did make restitution, and we did get the helpline up and running, and Sam did jumpstart this area, and I think the important thing for me is that it saved my ass, is the real deal. We were going to have this grandiose thing, and I don't know, I'll turn it over to Edgar or Rich here, because I can't remember how we wanted to have a spiritual retreat, but somehow I think in the you guys can fill that in. But I was driving home from work, and I decided to take a new route because there was construction going on. Where's Cheryl? God drives a bulldozer, right? Remember how she was sharing about the construction and wanting things her way? God drives a bulldozer, right? So I come down 219, and I saw this big sign, Harvest Fest, Camp Harmony. And in my mind, it's like, you can't go there by yourself. You need another addict with you. And I'm like, fuck it. After all, I'm the guy that used to be in the region and all that. Sometimes our shadow's taller than our souls here. But I pulled in here, and Neil was playing basketball, big old guy with a big beard, and a pastor, and another guy named Charlie was the maintenance guy. That was the operation here, two guys. And Neil said, yeah, I know. I told him about Narcotics Anonymous. I was the regional PI chair before, so I had a little something to know not what to do, or, you know, knew not to be, try to be humble. And he said, yeah, I know about you guys. I used to have a ministry in L.A., and you guys had meetings in our hall. And he says, yeah, let's work this out. And that was kind of how it all got started with the facility. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Lance.
Hey, I'm Ed. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ed. Ed.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming, first of all. We know it's early. We know how it is. So I'm going to go back a little farther after this shirt, before this one. There's a little gap there. What happened was we were sitting at area. You know, we were dysfunctional, very dysfunctional. We were all over the place. There was meetings in Indiana, crumbling. Johnstown was getting rebuilt. Somerset, I don't even think existed.
Yeah. There was one meeting.
Maybe one. Okay, I'll go with that. And so, after our, you know, treacherous time with this fun thing happening, you know, I walked in the night money was stolen. I showed up down there because I did call the hotline. I was at Sheets, and they were like right around the corner. I didn't even hang up the phone, and Bob was standing next to me. That's how quick he got there. I go, where are you? Across the street? But he drove, you know. And I went like, wow. Okay, so here I go. Listen, we want to sit in and see what's going on here, and there was me and Don Baker were there. We're considering, you know, supporting this area, you know. So we went in there, and these guys were like, you got to do this, you know. Oh, we love you, you know. Oh, you know. I said, these guys are fucking nuts, you know. But let's try it. So we joined, you know. So we met in the Lee Hospital. Is that what that hospital? Lee Hospital.
Mercy
Hospital. Okay. And we had this room in the back, and you could only park somewhere, and you could only walk down this one hall and everything, you know. And that was like the beginning of the Laurel Mountains, right there for me, you know. Mm-hmm. That's as far back as I can go, you know. So we started growing, as you know, Narcotics Anonymous does. So we hit this point where we needed another building, but we needed Well, we don't want to meet in Johnstown. We got to go from here to there, you know. So we said, we need to find a central location, you know. We're always bickering. You know how we are, you know. We never can satisfy each other to the extent that we need to make everybody happy. Well, Evansburg did, believe it or not. You know, we found Altoona, Midway, Indiana, Midway, Johnstown, Midway, or Third Way, whatever you want to call it. And the building worked for us, you know. So we're sitting there one day. Lance is the chair. And I was vice chair, and I'm sitting next to him, and all this stuff is going on, and he goes, we need a three-day event. That's what came out of his mouth, just like that. This guy blows a gasket. This guy's smiling like he's just invented...
Cheshire Cat.
Like he invented the world right there, you know? And I'm right next to him, and I got my hand up, I'm for it, you know? Let's do this, you know? We didn't know what we were doing. actually,
we were envisioning Start to Live.
I'd already done. I went to Start to Live 6, and I've been on the committees all the way to 10. So I had a little bit of, you know, experience. You know, I was chair, like you said, of a committee down there and stuff for many years when we met in the Hilton. And so, like, so we decided to do this. Now, and that's where the story fills in about finding the camp, how he found the camp and everything, because we had, you know, we were still empty, you know. Okay, funds. What are we going to do about funds, right? Well, like you said, we ran all these, you know, fundraisers, you know. We gathered a little bit. Our resources, you know, I can't remember taking it a whole lot, if anything, from the area. Now, I'm sure we broke some tradition somewhere down the line, but I remember, like, I worked in a deli. I didn't steal the food. It was donated to us. You know, we had, I had ice cream the first or second time we were here. You know, the guy cleaned out his freezer and said, take all this ice cream. I don't want it. You know, they gave us food and everything. You know, I was coming here. I was telling, just telling somebody down there at our cabin. I saw a potato chip truck parked on the side of the road, right? I walked in the front of the potato chip truck. There was a guy in there. I go, hey, listen, you got any stuff you can't use, you know, and stuff like that. And I walked out the back with 4 cases of potato chips, you know. That's how, see, this is what we did. This is what, our energy was so, at such a level
willingness,
that we was like, you know, we was willing to do anything, you know. And we did do a lot of anythings, you know. All good stuff, you know. We came up here. Somebody had mentioned it last night. I think for our second or first retreat, we made 6,000 flyers.
No cell phones. That's important.
You know, we did. If you knew somebody in Florida, one person, they got 100. If you knew somebody in North Carolina, they got 100. You know,
we were stacks of mail in.
I think we sent something to Japan. I don't even know. You know, I mean, we really, really, you know, try to get the message out about this thing happening. You know, and I think the day came, and we were all sitting here. You know. And we're up there, and we're praying, and we're thinking, and we're sweating, and we're going, oh, God, this has got to work. We're all wearing 7 hats, you know. You're doing this, this, and this. You're doing this, this, and this. And like me and Matt discussed, Lance was a nervous wreck. He didn't have a good time his first time here, I don't think, you know. I don't think he's a walkie-talkie guy. You know, yelling at everybody, do this, do that, you know. let it go, you know. But like, you know, we had concessions. We had like 65 people show up.
Yeah, we did.
Like 65 people showed up for number one. And we that little brown, the little water hole next to the lodge, there used to be a one of these cabins there. I think it was called the Roxy. I'm not really absolutely sure what it was called.
Like that brown one there.
Just like that dilapidated building right there. Well, that's where the committee stayed, you know. We could fit them all in one thing, you know. And so we would go there, and we sat down, and we was counting this money. And we got up to like 200. And we went like, this is amazing. We got 200 bucks, you know.
We counted it 5 times.
Well, no, don't throw this wee stuff in there. He counted it 5 times, and he came up with a different number.
5 different numbers.
4 times. We would not.
Wait. No, I'm just saying. Wait.
Oh yeah, and this happened for 3-5 years, you know. I mean, same thing, same situation, over and over. We drive down, we deposit at night and everything, you know. But you know, what I guess. What I'm trying to say is the feeling that this brought to us was incredible. It was so real. We actually thought up of something, committed to it, and it went off. It went off without a hitch, hardly, you know? We had speakers. Every speaker was from far away. Pittsburgh, that's far away. you know? And they were all, this place is beautiful, this is that, you know?
We had Baltimore, we had Meadville, we had everywhere.
We hit all over, you know. And our first speaker meeting was downstairs. If you go into where the cafeteria used to be, around the side of the cafeteria, you'll see some steps that go up. And it was just a room. And we filled it, you know.
About this size.
And John Lee was a speaker there, mm-hmm. you know. He was our first speaker.
Said fuck every other word. And Neil was standing there listening to the whole thing. He had brought people from the ministry to listen to them. That's who we are.
So we pull this thing off, and we're sitting here, and we're talking about it after and stuff, and we're trying to, you know, absorb everything. We're totally brain dead. I mean, anybody that's worked a convention or anything knows what the life, how the life gets sucked out of you and everything. And we just said right there, this is a good idea. Let's do it again. You know? And that's what happened. We did. Events. We traveled to Pittsburgh to just personally give these people, like, here's 1,000 meeting lists.
Flyers
for a registration. I know you know that many people, right? You know,
there was that many people around. It was crazy.
It was crazy. And what we believed was that, you know, we had some clean time. We weren't just sitting here with, you know, a couple of us had short time, but we weren't sitting here with like 6 months clean and making stuff if we go along. We brought in all the pieces and the puzzle just started going into shape, you know? It started becoming something, you know? His idea, my idea, Matt's.
No.
Matt saying you can't do it, you know? And that was, he was our fire, you know? He's the one that let the fire on our ass.
But he was probably the only adult in the room.
He looked at it so logically. He looked at everything, and we just said, no, let's just do it, you know? And sometimes that's what you have to do. I mean, you know, how did the convention number one in Pittsburgh start? Because they got mad because we didn't get the world to do it? The world wouldn't come to us? So they started a convention, you know?
Chris Cochran used to say, like that movie, build it and they will come. And that's what we flew on.
Yep. So, like, you know, I mean, this, you know, T-shirts. Oh, the T-shirt deal. The gentleman that we get our T-shirts from, his wife needed recovery. Remember? Me and you went up to see him, and he says, I'll give you a deal if you help her. See, I mean, like, we were doing everything.
Doing deals. We were wheeling and dealing.
We were making. All right, we can do that.
but we got, you know, we got our T-shirts, you know? I mean, you know, we didn't break any really rules or anything, but we kind of, you know, we was on the edge, I'm sure, a lot of times, you know?
He was really grateful.
And he was grateful. There you go. And see, and we get him there to this day. You know, that's another thing. You know, it's a long going on tradition between knowing this gentleman, what he did for us, what we tried to do for him and stuff. You know, there's something that there's a connection, a blind connection, I'll call it, you know, because we don't see
public relations,
you know, and geez, I don't know. Couldn't have campfires here for
about five years.
Yeah, Stanley.
People still came.
204.
We had one fire in the lodge, right? We was able to make a fire in the fireplace in the lodge.
And here,
that's right, you know. So a lot of people met here. We actually had midnight meetings where people were, you know, oh, fire, cool, you know. Because, you know, fire attracts addicts. And you don't even have to have any food on it, you know.
Bob S. got the truck rims.
Yeah, me and Bob, I drove from Indiana all the way to past Lance's house with my trailer. He goes, I know where to get these things. I'll get them cheap. I know the guy. I put all these things on my trailer, and they're bouncing and clanging and everything, you know. It was just...
You're lucky if you got...
You knew somebody. I knew somebody. He knew somebody. He knew somebody, you know. And we used the fellowship as a whole to make this happen, you know. And, you know, it's just not much... Well, there is a lot more to say because there's a lot of blanks, you know. Once we got the fires, oh, my God, it was Tent City up there, you know. That's when the s'mores group says, oh, well, they got a fire. We can go now, you know. And I says, awesome, because I knew these people because my recovery started in Pittsburgh. I couldn't get recovered in Indiana because I was the only one there, you know. I remember one time going to a meeting and then one newcomer showed up. I was so excited. I threw him in a car and dragged him to Pittsburgh. Never seen him since. That's a terrible thing to say, but I wanted him to get recovery, and I knew where it was. So I took him to it. I mean, going to Pittsburgh twice a week to find recovery, and then when I joined the convention committee, you know, going down constantly, you know, was a chore, you know, but so was this. And look what this got me, you know.
And I think a big motivator for us is we all came from, and this is important, we all came from where, look, familiarity breeds contempt sometimes, right? And we got our traditions, and we watched stable groups fall apart because of resentment in the coffee pot. Didn't make it. We left. People left. And nobody was open in meetings. And somebody was mad at somebody over, you know, how we get. And the disease. So I think the whole premise with the word unity was that we needed to pull ourselves back together. Because we were disappearing. Indiana, too, right, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm.
Fading away?
Anger, itch. Resentments, fears.
So one other thing before I hand it over to Rich is, when we first started here, I knew Bo S., you know. I used to go see him a lot. And he had this little side business. He made stickers for the longest time, you know. And he'd come up to Indiana and he'd say, 25 cents. I'd go, geez, you're going to charge us for that thing, you know, and everything. Well, I had this table, and I have this table. To this day, I still have it. It's a little warped or anything, but it's called the NA table, of course, you know. And all these stickers are all over the table. Start to Live, 7, You Can't, We Can. And then the mix stickers, you know, Unloaded and like, you know, a little bit of AA / NA, you know, kind of mixed together in there and stuff, you know. And I love that table, though. I mean, I haven't had to use it. I did bring it to the H&I retreat, but they already had free tables there, so I couldn't break it out.
That was one of our first tables here.
That was a first. That was a registration table. You know, it was like a folding table with. Right now, if you put too much stuff on it, go. You know, but so. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks,
Ed. Pass it over. We'll fill in more blanks.
I'm a recovering addict. My name is Rich.
Hey, Rich.
Now I'm going to tell you what really happened. He's got. I'm the baby here. As far as I know, Matt is the only person that has attended all 21 events. It's kind of cool. You know, there's another event which was actually born from our retreat down in Southern Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I've been blessed enough to attend every one of their events. So, like, it's a special thing.
John and Louise.
Yeah.
River of Hope.
Yeah. There was a woman from Pittsburgh, and she met a guy from down in Southern Maryland. They got married, and they had always come up to this event. And found so much recovery and the spirit of recovery here that they wanted to try to recreate that down in another area. And they've done a heck of a job. It's an awesome event. There's probably about 30 of us going down there this year. But anyway, I got clean in 89. And I didn't know anything about the fellowship of NA. I went to Altoona, and I thought NA only existed in Altoona, but we had some guy in California that would make key tags for us. Like, that was my understanding of NA.
Jimmy Kay was stamping them out.
Yeah, just for us, you know, just the group in Altoona. Well, there was two meetings in Altoona at the time. And I have always worked every other weekend for my job. Some people found out about this event that was going on. We didn't know about this one in 96 today, but we heard the talk was going around about this retreat going on. And at that point, I had almost 8 years clean, and I had never been to an NA event. I'd never been to a speaker jam, a convention, nothing. Like, I thought I could do it alone. So I didn't make much effort to attend that first one. There were some people from down in Altoona who did. And that was August 22nd. And on October 22nd, I decided to use again. I always tell people I missed the first one, but I haven't missed one since. I don't know if it had anything to do with me picking up again, but I'm not taking the chance. So we were blessed enough in Altoona that some of these knuckleheads showed up in my home group right after my relapse. And they told us about this thing called an area. And seriously, we did not have any experienced NA members at Altoona meetings that time. We had no clue what they were talking about. Like Ed said, they were meeting at the hospital at that time, and I lived halfway between Altoona and Johnstown, so they said they needed something called the GSR. I had no clue what that was, but I lived close, so I raised my hand. Like, I had no clue that I was getting this with the package, you know. I remember that first area, man. It was just short of studio wrestling. I expected them to pick up chairs and start hitting him and stuff like that. But that was in November of 97, 3 months after our first event. But that planted some seed in my mind, because that was the first time I saw a whole bunch of different people get together, hate each other for a moment, and then come together in love before that day ended, and be okay with what happened in that room. And it lit a fire under me. I had this ask for a sponsor at that time, so I decided I needed another one, and I ended up with this guy here. Like, he wasn't my first choice, but he was God's first choice. It's the way it happened, man. Like, things happen because they're supposed to. And for number two, he was the concessions chair. And I think he had I don't know if he had a family commitment or work commitment, but he couldn't get up here till very late on Friday. So he asked me to step in. And we ran a kitchen back then, kind of like these guys do here now. We had hot dogs, stuff like that. So I ran the kitchen the first year. That was my first, outside of a home group, that was my first commitment in NA, other than that GSR, which I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And they're kind of right, but they kind of forgot. Like, it wasn't all peaches and cream. Like, these committees over the years have fallen apart at times. There was a year when the committee basically dissolved, and Bob S., Lance, Edgar, and myself were kind of on the fringe of the committee and came in to fill up. But that happens every year. There's always somebody who can't keep their commitment, whether for good reasons or bad reasons. It just happens. But there's always another addict right behind, waiting. You know, I've learned in service that mentorship process, we may call it sponsorship, but the world in general looks at it as mentorship. What I've learned from these guys. You know, like, I showed up with some willingness to learn some stuff. I remember the first time I was the treasurer for this event. Lance gave me his pirated copy of Microsoft Money, and I put it on my computer, and, like, it all fell together, you know? Yeah, we broke a lot of traditions. Yeah.
That's how you learn them. You learn traditions by breaking.
Yeah, we broke a lot of traditions. But just barely, you know? We always had that, like, that just enough.
Spiritual.
Just, yeah, it was spiritual enough that we knew we were doing the right thing. You know, somehow when you're not doing it for personal gain, doesn't make it right, but kind of somehow you can put your head down on the pillow at night and still sleep. And this event has grown and shrunk. Like Edgar said, we used to print. This was before the internet was out there and cell phones weren't even heard of yet. And we used to print over 6,000. We'd all get together at Lance's place, and we'd sit there and we'd print out thousands of flyers. We'd print out these things. We'd
little printer,
you know. We were there all day, all day. And then we bought a little laminator so we could laminate them. And, like, it sounds crazy to put that much work into it, but it really wasn't about work for the event. It was about working on our recovery at the same time.
We were there.
That's what it was, a wee thing. Like I told you before my relapse, like, I had never been to any of these events, and at number two, it was the very first time I ever came to an event and I saw white people, black people, old people, young people, skinny people, fat people, kids who climb on rocks, fat kids, skinny, even kids with chicken pox. but I saw this very diverse group come together for a common cause, to get another day clean. And I always tell people this event has some special magic in it. You may not see it, but if you leave here without feeling it, you weren't paying attention. Because that event truly changed not only my recovery, but it changed my life. It has helped me grow into the person I've become today. I've been blessed enough to serve on every committee here. Lance has chaired twice. Edgar's chaired twice. I've chaired twice. Matt actually did his first service commitment at the event a couple years ago.
20 years. After 20 years, yeah. I had 20 years of recovery before I did. That's not true.
See, I told you they lied.
I'll tell you a story here. I remember me and Bob S. We went to the regional retreat, and we were there to sell T-shirts.
Oh, man.
And
I made an amends to Spencer last year on that.
I think we all did. Spencer almost died then. Bob wanted to kill him. Bob was a big guy, that guy.
God bless Spencer.
You've got to hear this story.
Anyhow, we went there to sell shirts, and you got to understand something. The Tri-State Retreat, they don't make money. They only sell their own merchandise to support the regional retreat. It's like a zero out. It's a spiritual thing. It's not about the money. and they have to sell all that they have, you know, to, in order to make the budget so there's a retreat. You always got to think when you do a retreat, what about the retreat? Just how we think about how we're laying the groundwork for the addicts to come, we have to think about the retreat to come. And we didn't think that way. We were told, we were brainwashed that the, you know, the upside down pyramid, and that, you know, the region serves us. We are the, you know, they serve the areas and they need to serve us. And we had these really cool shirts too. They were like the Phoenix.
It was a lot better than their shirts.
It was
like one of ours.
Logo.
So me and Bob, we did this is the greatest thing in marketing. If you want to go into marketing, one of the greatest things is to show, we went around to every campsite and we said, look, we got these really, really cool shirts. You can't have them. You cannot have these shirts. Look how cool these are. You cannot have them. And we went around everywhere to everybody at the whole, every area at that retreat, and we said you can't have them. And then you know, there was when we did that, some people started putting a little political pressure on the merchandise chair for this regional retreat, and he came up to us and he says, "You guys kept 15 minutes at the main meeting. That's all you got." We sold out in 15 minutes. I mean, we made like $500 and some in 15 minutes.
It looked like those things you see at the cockfights where everybody has money in their hands and they try to get up front. We sold almost $1,000 worth of merchandise in 15 minutes. Like, it was just happening. And, we've all made our men suspense over that because it almost came to fisticuffs, as was my first event. But you know what?
Like, he was the all only this, spiritual guy in the room.
All this stuff was done out of love. Love for our recovery, love for sharing our recovery, love for helping bring, like, newcomers. Just kind of a little bit, like, we've had a long history with this camp, and they truly, many times they've told us that, like, we're their favorite event. When we leave here, there's so little for them to do because we find it. We leave it the way we found it. Like, there's a big event here next weekend, and there's some people come in with $500,000 mobile homes and stuff, and they told us that, like, we're better behaved than those people. Like, it's nice to know that, like, the face of NA that people see here. Just this year, there's a new lady down at the food service, and it's her first time dealing with us. And the people from the camp told her, like, don't worry, they'll be okay, you know. Like, so we are carrying on public information every moment you're here. Another thing that has always struck me, I'm a big history buff, so, like, a lot of the stuff that took place before I was here, I still have, like, documents and things like that. Kevin R. from Pittsburgh gave me, like, our original meeting list, and Lance just found some floppy disks that have stuff on them, so I got a floppy drive now I can plug into my computer so we can salvage that stuff.
With pirated WordPerfect.
Borrowed. But one thing I found out about history is it's never ending. What we're doing right now is setting history for next year and the year after that. It may be a grandiose idea. You know, I always love when I see first annual. How do you know it's going to be a second one? You know, like, part of it is grandiosity, but also part of it is just putting some faith in.
It's commitment.
And that's how this event has survived over the years. You got a hardcore group of people that are willing to take a commitment, whether they be old, new, somewhere in between. They're willing to take a couple of weekends, especially throughout the summer, when there's a lot of other things to do, to get together with a bunch of other knuckleheads and put this event together. And somehow, no matter how chaotic it seems. I remember the one year, Lance called me up like Thursday night. He's like, "Chris, something's wrong." I'm like, "Lance, what's wrong?" He goes, "Nothing's wrong." I'm like, "Lance, we've been doing this for a little while. Maybe we're actually starting to get some things right."
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And, like, we showed up here, and he was still kind of a nervous wreck. And, like, it all happens, you know. Is it perfect? I've never been to an event that's perfect. But I see growth in this, in the, not only the area, but in the people that are here to serve it, the people here come to enjoy this event. And like I said, if you leave here without finding some magic, you really weren't paying attention.
How about the guys from Baltimore that used to kiss you?
Yeah, that was different.
Huh?
That was different.
Randy and those guys.
Remember.
Instead of a hug, they kissed you on the lips.
And it's true, like,
hey, in the spirit of unity, I kissed him back.
We didn't have a choice.
And he liked it. So, do you guys have anything else?
Yeah, I do. At Addicksville. You know, I remember, we've all remember, obviously. about how it started. But what kind of sticks a thorn in my side is when it started getting up to number 4 and 5, they wanted to change it. Oh, God, that sat terrible with me. You know, they didn't want to do this. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to change the way this... You know, we thought we had this cemented, you know? Done. This is what's going to be like forever. Everybody likes it. Don't change it. Don't fix it, you know? And then change came. Oh, I was bitter a couple of years up here. I was bitter, you know? I even started a lead one time, says, I'm a hateful addict. I remember. I got asked to speak at the last minute or something, and I just... Who's our other recorder? Chuck.
Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck.
Yeah, he says, I still got that CD where you start talking about being hateful toward people. And I says, well, I had to come clean, you know? And that might have been what made me get through the rest of the, you know, weekend, you know? Because I washed myself of that hate, you know? It just wasn't supposed to happen. But every year it's progressed. It's gotten different and different and different and different and different, you know? We are on the brim of collapse here. We're close, you know? Last year we lost a lot of money. Now you guys gotta know this too, you know? You gotta know that this isn't just like coming here, you know? We got crushed last year and we haven't recovered yet. So what's gonna happen? Do I have to go find another potato chip truck? You know? Start dealing potato chips out of a truck
give
in my
blood,
car?
Ed, give know? Blood.
I can't. I'm not allowed. But like, you know, so, I mean, you know, so there's a lot of pain. And the pain, I still remember it well, you know. I've made some amends to that, especially the chair for that first change that I went across through. I was at another retreat somewhere in Ohio, and he showed up, and I went like, I need to talk to you, man. I got to wash this away. See? I stayed clean by coming here. I carried a message by coming here. I enhanced my recovery by coming here, you know? And like Rich said, you know, this is where things happen to you. I saw a lot of first-timers here, you know, last night at Matt's Circle, you know, a lot of first-time people and stuff. And I said, you know what, this is just the beginning for you, you know? Someday you'll be driving this car. I can't be here forever, you know? I might show up when I can barely make it. If I can, I'm gonna. But this is where I learned love, hate, anxiety, pressure, you know, all the things that we always write about and talk about that happens in our daily lives. You can get it all here in one day if you're a chair.
I get so high on anxiety.
Oh. So just remember, folks, you know, this is a wonderful thing.
Journey continues.
And it will continue. Thanks.
Thanks, Adrian.